Good morning. I'm sad to see you here, and I'm grateful to be able to look at everyone's smiling face. And just so you know, if I see anybody nodding off during the lesson, not going to hold it against you. We lost an hour last night. All right. Let's see if we can get this going. Today, we're continuing the lesson series on the Book of Joy. Our focus is on the teachings in the book about the eight pillars of joy. We've covered the first four pillars, which are referred to as qualities of the mind. Today we're going to start on the second set of pillars with the quality of gratitude. And this second set of four qualities are qualities of the heart. Jean-Baptiste Massot was a pioneering deaf educator during the French Revolution. He called gratitude the memory of the heart. There's also lyrics to a popular song you might know, Big Yellow Taxi, that go like this. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Well, both are a lament and a warning, and ultimately a call to exercise gratitude on a more regular basis. This week's chapter on gratitude in the Book of Joy opens with the Dalai Lama telling us he wakes up every day thinking, I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I'm not going to waste it. He also goes on to say, I'm going to use all my energies to develop myself, to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I am going to have kind thoughts towards others. I'm not going to get angry or think badly about others. I am going to benefit others as much as I can. How many of you wake up every day with these same thoughts and intentions? Perhaps each morning you're moved by the realization that you woke up in a warm, comfortable bed, you enjoyed a hot shower and clean clothes and food for breakfast. You begin your day by counting your blessings because you know there are millions of people in the world that don't have these things to wake up to. The book tells us that gratitude is the recognition of all that has made it possible to have the life that we have in the very moment we are experiencing. Brother David Steindl Rast, the world's leading spiritual expert on gratitude, sees two parts to the process of gratitude: gratefulness and thanksgiving. Gratefulness, he sees, as those moments in which gratitude wells up in our hearts and we experience it firsthand as if something were filling us up from within, filling us with joy, but we haven't yet articulated it. Gratefulness is like a vessel that is still inarticulate until it overflows. It's like the bowl of a fountain when it fills up, and it's very quiet and still. And then when it overflows, it starts to make noise, and it sparkles and it ripples down. When it makes noise, when gratefulness is articulated, then it becomes thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, according to Brother David, comes to a point where the heart overflows and we sing and we thank everybody and we write it down because we never want to forget it. When these two things happen, gratefulness and thanksgiving, that is gratitude. Thanksgiving is a natural response to life. This attribute of joy allows us to shift our perspective. As both the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu counseled us, toward all we have been given and all that we have, it moves us toward the wider perspective of benefit and abundance. Gratitude helps us to see what is there instead of what isn't. It helps us answer the proverbial question, is the glass half full or half empty? People who wonder about this miss the point. If we're grateful, we're able to embrace reality and realize the glass is refillable. It is gratefulness that makes us happy. Being grateful provides the ability for us to see every moment as a gift. There's no guarantee that you'll have another moment quite like the current one with all of the opportunity it contains. As Douglas Abrams, the author of the Book of Joy, tells us, the gift within every gift is the opportunity it offers us. Most often, it is the opportunity to enjoy it. But sometimes a difficult gift is given to us, and that can be an opportunity to rise to the challenge. Because of how overwhelming life can be at times, it's so crucial that we know how to recenter ourselves on true, enduring joy. We need some source of strength. We need some grounding to endure this journey. In that light, we turn to what the Apostle Paul wrote on the subject. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, we can break it down as joy equals gratitude plus rejoicing plus connection. And I'm going to read that for you real quick. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I love that passage, but don't get me wrong, it's probably the last thing someone who's going through a challenge wants to hear is rejoice. And the last thing someone who is feeling anxious about something wants to hear is, oh, don't worry about anything. Yet here we have Paul's encouragement. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And his second teaching, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Since Paul was imprisoned when he wrote this letter, I think we ought to take what he says a little bit seriously. He was locked up for his faith, finding himself in the midst of an incredibly difficult experience, and still was able to recenter himself on his enduring joy in Christ. To help us get more insight into what Paul is talking about here, let's look at what the Book of Joy explains about how gratitude relates to joy. It says when you are grateful, you are not fearful, and when you are not fearful, you are not violent. When you are grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not out of a sense of scarcity, and you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people and respectful of all people. The grateful world is a world of joyful people. Grateful people are joyful people. A grateful world is a happy world. Another piece of finding joy is nurturing connection. Nurturing the connections we have with our loved ones, divine spirit, and creation itself is absolutely essential. That's the point of life, ultimately. There's a reason that everything from spending time with our children and grandchildren to seeing a beautiful sunset or sunrise makes us feel joyful. We were wired by our Creator for connection. It's to that point that Desmond Tutu writes, "What the Dalai Lama and I are offering is a way of handling your worries. Thinking about others. You can think about others who are in a similar situation, or perhaps even in a worse situation than you are, but who have survived, even thrived. It does help quite a lot to see yourself as part of a greater whole." Once again, the path of joy was connection, and the path of sorrow was separation. When we see others as separate, they become a threat. When we see others as part of us, as connected, as interdependent, then there is no challenge we cannot face together. Sometimes tapping back into our inner sense of joy might be mistaken for an individualistic, self-centered activity. But it fundamentally is not, at least not in a spiritual sense. I'm confident that's why in Philippians, Paul followed up, "Rejoice in the Lord always," with the admonition to let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. Joy is not an isolated experience. It comes from our connections with others. It comes from remembering who we are as our true Christ nature, made for relationship. I'll close with a story that stuck with me for quite a while. I actually saw it as a post on Facebook a while back. It was from a Presbyterian minister in Austin, Texas. He told this story that puts this passage from Philippians into practice. He writes, "When I was raising money to go to seminary, one of my jobs was working with scrap metal. That job introduced me to two Jewish men who were both Holocaust survivors. While we were breaking down a crate, one of the men showed me the tattoo on his arm with his number from the concentration camp. It was so strange to hear him laugh defiantly as he told me of the day he was almost taken to the gas chamber. He said he resolved at that moment to either escape or die trying. He showed me where the bullets had entered his body, and where the dogs had torn into his legs. The other man was a Jewish mystic. Both men had been through hell, but both glowed with a joyfulness that comes from choosing to be fully human and fully alive, no matter what the situation, no matter what the cost. One of the men had been a millionaire in Europe, lost it all, and was wealthy again in the USA. He even offered to help me get through Presbyterian Seminary, even though he was Jewish. The point is, these two men had been through conditions we cannot even imagine, but both were two of the most joyful people I have ever met. They didn't let anything bother them. They had made the choice not to hate and not to waste even 1 minute of life in bitterness. This day, like every day of life, is a priceless gift. Like my two Jewish friends, we can choose to live this day in solidarity with others, rejoicing with them, and in unshakable joy. At the end of the chapter on gratitude, the Dalai Lama reminds us that impermanence is the nature of life. All things change. Time slips away. There is a real danger of wasting our precious human life. Gratitude helps us catalog, celebrate, and rejoice in each day and each moment before they slip through the vanishing hourglass of experience. Gratitude plus rejoicing plus connection equals unshakable joy. May we, as individual expressions of divine spirit, be the ones who, to quote the Apostle Paul, practice these things. In 1 Thessalonians, we are told, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Saying thank you is more than good manners. It's good spirituality, because gratitude for the present moment, for every moment of our lives, opens up the spiritual dimension of life. So as we come to the end of today's lesson, let us take this into prayer and meditation by affirming together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.
There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills the place. I've touched the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of his joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.